Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Lamed Aleph. We are holding on Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis. We are about 10 lines from the end of the page at Tanu Rabbanan. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children and Le'ili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha La'ashalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship each and every day of the Daf Yomi. Today we're going to discuss the following. We're going to talk about how Klal Yisrael went through the Yarden, how they positioned themselves when they went through the Yarden, what they did while they were in the Yarden, the announcements Yahushua made to them while they were in the Yarden, how the water went up, and how exactly the machlokas, how high the waters went up when they went through the Yarden, what stones they took from the Yarden, and what they did with those stones. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the Meraglim. We're going to start darshaning the parsha of the Meraglim, so it's going to talk about Kalev and Yehoshua in particular, how Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yehoshua, and how Kalev had gone off to go daven by Kivrei Avos in Chevron. The Gemara is going to talk a little bit about Chevron and what was unique about Chevron in terms of its the quality of the land and the overall mission of the Meraglim. So let's begin. We're at Tanu Rabbanan, about 10 lines from the end of the page, on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Ketan Over Yisrael Es Yarden. How did Klal Yisrael go through the Yarden? So B'chol Yom, when Klal Yisrael had to travel, Aron Oseya Achar Shnei Degalim. The Aron typically would travel behind two of the Degalim, behind the Degalim of Reuven and Yehuda. There were four Degalim in the Midbar, a Degal for each three Shvatim, and the Degalim were called by the names of four Shvatim in particular, Yehuda, Reuven, Ephraim, and Dan. So the way that they would travel was that the Degal Yehuda went first, and then Aaron Uvanov came with the Mishkan to take the Parochas and to cover the Aron. And then the Bnei Gersh and Bnei Merari would take the Krashei HaMishkan and they would carry, put them on wagons, and the Aron and the Klei HaKodesh of the Bnei Kaas. I should get off. Okay. All right. And the, sorry about the Zoom problems, everybody. And so then they would travel through. So the point is that the Aron would travel behind two of the Degalim, behind the Degel of Reuven and Yehuda. That was typically Vahayom. But the day that Klal Yisrael traveled through the Yarden, Nasa Tchila, the Aron went first. It led the way. Shenemar Hinei Aron Abris Adon Kala Aretz. Over lifnechem, so it went in front of them. B'yardin is the next word in the pasuk. And another difference: b'chol yom v'yom leviim nosnes ha'aron. On a typical day, the leviim, meaning the bnei kahas, were the ones that carried the aron. V'hayom, but the day that Klal Yisrael went through the yardin, nosu kohanim. The kohanim. The Kohanim were the ones that carried the Aron. Shemar Vayu Kinoch Kapos Raglei Kohanim Nosei Aron Hashem. So Tanya, we have a brisa that tells us. So again, so we just said, for those who I was muted for, we just said that there were two differences between the way we normally traveled and the way that we went through the Yarden, the day that we went through the Yarden. First difference is the placement of the Aron. Second difference is who carried the Aron. Typically, the Aron was placed behind two of the Degalim, and that day the Aron led the way. And typically, the Aron was carried by the Bnei Kahas, but that day it was carried by the Kohanim. So says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Yomer, Bishlosha Mekobos, Nosu Kohanim Es Aron. This is one of three places that the Kohanim were the ones that carried the Aron. First is Kshavras Yarden, the place that we just identified when they went through the Yarden. Second to Kshesibu Es Yericho, when they had to go around Yericho in order for the walls of Yericho to fall down for 7 days. They went around the walls of Yericho once each day, and then they did seven Akafos on the seventh day, and they blew Shofros, and the walls of Yericho came down. So that was accompanied by the Aron, with the Kohanim carrying the Aron. And number three, Kshech Ziruhu Limekomo, when they brought the Aron in the days of Shlomo HaMelech from Ir David, back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim after it had been taken away in the times of Mishkan Shiloh. Well, what's the story over there? So the Psukim and Shmuel Aleph tell us that in the days of Eli, Klal Yisrael went out to fight a Melcham with the Plishtim. The Plishtim were victorious, and the Plishtim captured the Aron. And wherever the Aron went with the Plishtim, they suffered all sorts of horrible things because they shouldn't have had the Aron. So they decided it's causing us all sorts of aggravation, so let's instead, they were having hemorrhoids and all sorts of things. So they said, well, okay, so we're going to send it back to Klal Yisrael. So they sent it to Beit Shemesh, and Klal Yisrael and Beit Shemesh sent it to the house of Aminadav in Kiryat Ya'arim. And once the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, or since the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, they kept the Aron in the house of Aminadav for 20 years. And then David HaMelech wanted to bring it to Yerushalayim, but on the way, trying to bring it to Yerushalayim, Uzzah didn't show proper cover, and he died in the celebration bringing it to Yerushalayim. So David decided, you know what, let's not bring it to Yerushalayim. So they gave it instead to the Oved Edom, Hagiti, and they kept it in his house. He was from the Shoarim, he was a Levi. And then after 6 months, David HaMelech brought it to Yerushalayim, to Ir David, and that's where it stayed until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. And then when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, they brought it to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So on that journey to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the pasuk in Malachim Aleph says, "Vayaviu haKohanim esaron bris Hashem el makom el dvira bayis el kodesh hakadoshim el tachs kan ve'akruvim." It was the Kohanim that brought the Aron to where it actually finally belonged in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Brice explains now how it worked when we crossed the Yarden. The kivanch nitzul ragli kohanim b'mayim. As soon as the ragli kohanim went into the waters, meaning the Aron was in front and the kohanim were carrying the Aron. So the Kohanim were the first ones to get their feet wet. So Chazra Mayim Lachareim. As soon as that happened, the water started piling up. Shenemar Ukvon Nosei Aron Ad Hayarden VeYamdu Amayim VeYordim MiLemayla. So Kamu Neid Echad, that it just continued to build up like a pillar. So it wasn't like an ocean that split. It was that there was a flowing river, and they set foot in the Yarden. So whatever was flowing continued to whatever had already flowed by them continued to flow away, and the water that was about to come to where they were just kept building up higher and higher instead of continuing to flow downstream. So the Kama Govin Shamayim, how high did the water rise? Shnei Masar Mil. It was 12 mil by 12 mil. Kenegan Machne Yisrael, because that was the size of the Machne Yisrael. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says we went into the Yarden in formation, and therefore as we all got into the Yarden, the water built up to the size of Machne Yisrael. So Amar Lo Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon challenges Rabbi Yehuda. Lidvar Recha, according to you, that the height of the water was exactly the height of the Machne Yisrael. Wait a second. Adam Kal? Omayim Kalim. What's faster? Does water travel faster when it goes downstream? Or do people travel faster when they're traveling as a camp of people? Haviomer Mayim Kalim. For sure, water is much faster. Sim Kane, if that's the case, the idea that the water only went up Shnei Masar Mil is very difficult, because it should have gone much higher, because it was traveling much faster than the people, and the people are only coming into the Yarden at a normal human pace. So Bayna Mayim Ushotvinosam. If it stopped as soon as it got to 12 mil and then went right back to a regular river and went right back to a regular Yarden, then it should have come and drowned out all the Jewish people who were in the middle of the river. The Achronim point out that probably Rabbi Yehuda's response would be, if you look in the Pesukim, it's every Yeshua, it says Vayimaharu Ha'am Vayavru, that the Am was rushing, that they, so maybe he understands that they really sped up, that they sped up to the point that they were just as fast as the water. And that's how, as soon as it was the size of Machne Yisrael, they were able to get through, and they weren't drowned out. But Rav Elazar Rav Shimon thinks that they couldn't have gone that fast. Ela melamed shayimayim nigdashin va'olin kipin al gabi kipin yosar misholosh meils. No, it kept on building up and up and up. Yosar misholosh meils meal to the height was more than 300 mil in the air. Tosas points out that the Gemara Masechta Basra tells us that clouds are only 3 parsaos high. Shalosh Meir's meal is more than 70 parsaos. So that would mean that it was way above the height of the clouds. So in the Sefer Torah Sakanos, he says, no, but the whole point was that the next line of the Gemara is, Ad Sharoos on Kol Malchi Mizrach Umarav, that if Kol Malchi Mizrach Umarav would have seen it from its height, it must have been that it was a clear day, that there were no clouds, because it had to be that everyone was able to see it from a distance. Shenemar Vayich Hishmo Kol Malchi Amori Asher Bevei Yarden Yama V'Kol Malchi Malchei Akanani, Asher Aliyam, Asher Hovish Hashem, Esmei Ayardin, Mipnei Bnei Yisrael, Ad Avram. They heard about this amazing miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dried up the waters of the Yarden until Klal Yisrael was able to pass through the Yarden Vayamas Levavam. So they their hearts melted. Veloayabam Odruach. They had no, they were breathless. Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. They lost all their spirit. They lost all their confidence because of the Bnei Yisrael coming, and they realized that the Bnei Yisrael were accompanied by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guiding hand. Va'af Rachav Azona Amra L'Shaluch Yoshua, and Rachav Azono told Pinchas and Kalev, who are Yoshua Shluchim, Ki Shamanu Es Asher Hovish Hashem Es Mei Yamsuf, meaning this wasn't the first time that everyone had heard about the Kriyas Yamsuf as well, and that's why when Yoshua's spies went, Rachav Azono told them, you should know that I'm hearing all the politicians, they're all talking about how terrified they are of Klal Yisrael. Uksiv, the Pasuk says, Vanishma Vayimas Levenu V'lo Kama'od, that Rachav said that that they heard about it and their hearts melted and they couldn't have the same confidence anymore. So that repeated itself when we passed through the Yarden, that it was such a public spectacle that everybody heard about it and everybody was terrified about it. So the Gemara now continues to describe that process of going through the Yarden. Odom biyarden, while Klal Yisrael was still in the Yarden, Amlam Yoshua announced to them, he said to them, Du'u al ma'atem over Mesayarden. You need to be aware why it is that you're crossing the Yarden, that Hashem is allowing you to cross the Yarden. Al menas shetorishuas Yoshua aretz mipnechem. You're going to conquer the land from the people who are there right now. Just like already Moshe Rabbeinu had told them back in the Chumash, Shenemra, Pasukim Bamidbar Paraklam Gimel, Vorashtem is called Yoshua aretz mipnechem. So Yoshua says, remember that? Remember when Moshe Rabbeinu told us that? Imatem osim kein, if you are mekabel on yourselves to do exactly your job, then mutav. Then it's going to be great. You'll be able to pass through the Yarden b'shalom without any problem. V'imlav. But if you are not coming through with that intention of being morish as haaretz, so ba'in mayim v'shot v'noseichem, the water is now going to come and flood you all out and drown you. May oseichem. Oseichem is a funny word to use. What is it? It should be eschem or something like that. No, osi v'eschem. Oseichem is a combination of two words that it's going to drown me too. I mean, this tells us a little bit about the role of a manhig hador, that, look, I'm here for the people. I'm here to serve the people. And if the people aren't going to be here, then whether I'm at Tzadik or Russia, I don't belong here either. So, osi ve'eschem, it's going to take care of both of us. It's ineffective leadership if you're not going to live up to what you're supposed to do. So, Klal Yisrael were told that when they crossed the Yarden, they should take 12 avanim, corresponding to the number of the Shvatim in Klal Yisrael. This is already Moshe Rabbeinu told them in Dvarim Perchav Zayin. That's already in the Chumash. So now the Gemara describes how Yoshua instructed them to fulfill that tzivui of Moshe. Odom biyarden, while they were still in the Yarden, Amalem Yoshua told 12 people who he had previously identified and designated for this job. He told them that he has a job for them when they're in the Yarden in advance, but he didn't tell them in advance what that job is. So now in Sefer Yoshua, while they're in the Yarden, he tells them, Harimu lechem ish even achas al shichmo lemispar shiftei bnei Yisrael. Your job is to each take a stone corresponding, 12 of you corresponding to one stone each for the shiftei Yisrael, and you'll put it in the Yarden right by where the Kohanim are standing, because the Kohanim were the first ones to walk in. So uksiv lemantia zos os pikir bechem ki the pasuk goes kiir bnechem as havanim elu. That this will be an oath for future generations, and people are going to ask, well, what are these stones doing here? And the Pesukim continue, Gemara doesn't quote the whole Pasuk, but the Pesukim continue, Yarden, that there was once this amazing miracle that the Aron Bris Hashem came into the Yarden and the waters stopped flowing downstream and they built a wall. And therefore we set up these stones as a zikaron for Bnei Yisrael forever. Simon Labanim Shav Ruavas as Yarden, so it served as a simon for later generations of Klal Yisrael that their forefathers passed through the Yarden. Odom b'Yarden, still in the Yarden, Amlan Yoshua. Yoshua told those same 12 people, Su'ulachem izem mitoch Yarden mimatzav ragle ha'kohanim. Take from where the Kohanim are standing, Hachen shtei mesrei avanim. Take 12 other stones, is the Pashtos. Take 12, because those initial 12 stones had to remain there, otherwise it wasn't going to be much of a simon labanim. So take 12 other stones, va'avartem osam imachem, and those 12 other stones you should take with you through the Yarden, v'inachtem osam b'melona shetalinu bo halayla, and those stones should be placed where we spend the night tonight. You might think that wherever they spend the night, each and every stop along the way, that's why it says that it was Dafka in Gilgal where they spent the night that night that they had to bring those stones. So I'm Rabbi Yossi, Abba Chalafta, Rabbi Elazar ben Masya, Chananya ben Chachinoi. These three Tanoim, Abba Chalafta, Rabbi Elazar ben Masya, and Chananya ben Chachinoi, Omdu alos navanim. They calculated the weight of those stones. Vishirum kol achas va'achas shkula karboim sa'a. And they figured out that each of those stones weighs 40 sa'a. The 40 sa'a is the shear of a mayim that fills a mikvah. What are we saying, like 190 gallons? How much does 190 gallons of water weigh? A lot, right? Meaning those Poland Spring bottles are what, like 5 gallons? Yeah. So it weighs a lot. So these are 40 sa'a of was the weight of these stones. Ugemiri detuna de madli inish the kaspe, and we have a tradition, a Kabbalah, that the amount that a person is able to lift on their own is tilta detuna havi, is 1/3 of what a person can carry if someone else lifts it and puts it on your shoulders. I mean, you can carry a lot more when you don't have to do a deadlift from the ground, right? If you're standing already and you brace yourself and someone puts it on your shoulders. So what you're able to lift off the ground and put on your own shoulders is only 1/3 of what you're able to lift if someone is helping load the bundle on you. So mikana to mechashev leeshkol. Wow, so when you calculate that, think about the eshkol, the cluster of grapes that the Meraglim brought from Eretz Yisrael, where they helped each other lift it. Shenema, the Pasuk says by the Meraglim, vayisa'u bamot b'shnayim, that they carried it on a stick with two people. So mashal shenema bamot, any other b'shnayim, obviously if it was a stick, meaning they're carrying it with a stick. Obviously, you need one person at each end of the stick. So obviously, it's b'shnayim. So matam b'shnayim, b'shnei motos. B'shnayim means that there were two sticks, which means four people. One person on the end of each of the sticks carrying the cluster of grapes. So the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak tortini v'tortini d'tortini, that they carried it in a way where they were carrying it on two sticks, and then there were another two sticks running across those first two sticks. So it was really four sticks with two with and each stick was carried by two people. So haketzad nasu eshkol that shmona nasu eshkol, eight people were carrying the eshkol. Why was it eight people? Because again, if it was four sticks that were making like a tic tac board that went that were crossing each other, and each stick had two people carrying each end, and that's where they rested the grapes that they were schlepping. So it took eight people to take the eshkol. Echad nasa rimon, one of the meraglim took a rimon, ve'echad nasa te'ena, and the other one took a te'ena, took a fig. So a total of 10 meraglim were actually carrying peros. But wait, there were 12 meraglim, there weren't 10 meraglim. So Yoshua ve'Kalev lo nasu klum. Yoshua and Kalev didn't carry anything. They didn't take any fruits. So why not? Two possibilities. Iba yisei mishum dechashivi, either because they were very chashuv, so it was beneath their dignity to be carrying fruits, and the Minchasoti says, but wait, right. The Gemara is going to tell us in tomorrow's daf that the Meraglim were mezalzal in the cover of Yeshua. They called him Reish Katia. They didn't think that he was a chashva person at all. So how could it be that they didn't give him a fruit to carry? They're schlepping the package. They didn't give him anything to carry because of his kavod. So he says it must be that they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu really liked Yeshua. So he was mechubad in the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they knew that it wasn't they better not ask him to do too much. So Yeshua and Kalib, either because of their or because they didn't want to carry the payros, because they knew what the purpose of carrying these payros was. It wasn't to show that Eretz Yisrael is so great, let's go conquer it, let's do the Tzivay Hashem. This was the opposite, was their purpose. So they didn't want that either. Now it happens to be true that Moshe Rabbeinu told them to take payros, but Moshe Rabbeinu told them to take payros in order to show everybody how great Eretz Yisrael is. That was not the purpose of this taking payros. So these are not the payros that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to take. So now the Gemara goes back to explain how we cross the Yarden. So we had this machlokas that we mentioned already between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon of how high the waters went, where Rabbi Yehuda said it went 12 mil high, which is the exact size of the encampment of Bnei Israel, whereas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's 300 mil, keep it, Agabi, keep it, and Kol Malchei Mizrach Amarav, and everyone saw it. So Pliga Bar Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. It's a machlokas amaraim in terms of understanding this machlokas tanaim. Chad Omar, one of the amaraim says, L'diver Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the height of the waters went to 12 mil, that's because when Klal Yisrael went through the Yarden, Kechani Yasad Avru, they went through the Yarden in camp formation. And therefore, when they passed through the Yarden, it took as long as it took for the water to get to 12 mil. L'diver Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, B'zachar Zeh Avru. But Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon must have understood it went up so high, 300 mil, that they went through in single file. That Lavdafka Mamish single file, but they went through in a way that was more linear and less like the full width of the camp, which is strange. So it raises the question: why doesn't Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon just be told the hishita and the fact that the water goes faster? Right? Isn't that what he said before? Meaning, even if they went through in the in the camp formation, but water goes much, much faster. So isn't that the point? So how come we're saying that according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, they must have not gone through in formation, and that's why it took so much longer, because they were going through single file, that the water went up so high? The water went up so high because the water went so much faster. So the Tosos suggests that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda are actually arguing about two things. First of all, that which Rabbi Yehuda says, that it was 12 mil, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon taina, that since water is faster, it would have to be more than 12 mil anyway. But a second, he says, since they went b'zeach harzeh, it was way, way more than 12 mil, meaning either reason alone would have been enough. But when you put both things together, that's why it went so, so high. So according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, it was b'zeach harzeh. V'chad Amar, and the other one of the Amoraim that we just mentioned, suggests that no, Bein Mar, Ubein Mar, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Kechan Yasan Avru, hold that they went through in the camp formation. Mar Savar Adam Kal, Umar Savar Mayim Kalim. And the Machlokas is, who's faster? People running by foot, or Mayim Kalim, or is water faster as it flows? So that's the whole question. Tulsa says that Rabbi Yehuda has to be Moda, so that Mayim is Kalim. Mayim runs faster, but over here, Mayim is Kalim because Mayim normally flows downstream. Over here, the water is flowing to defy gravity. So like, how fast can you throw a baseball, let's say, right? So you could throw, how fast can you throw it up, right? When it's defying gravity, it goes a lot slower. So the water over here, maybe water goes at a certain pace, but when it's going upward, it's not going to, so that's what it means. Not in general in the world does a river flow faster than a person can run. Of course, in general, it does. The question is over here, Tosa says, whether Mayim Kalim. The Marsha also points out that the Gemara in Brachos is mashma, that not all water flows at the same pace. I mean, your eyes are mashma that also, right? Meaning you look, you see, not all rivers flow and rage at the same pace. Sometimes it flows much slower. So it could be that They were arguing about how strong the Yarden was flowing. Anyway, once we're talking about once we mention along the way about how they carried the Eshkol, why did we talk about how they carried the Eshkol of grapes? Because we were talking about the weight of the stones that they took from the Yarden. So we mentioned the weight of the stones. So can you imagine how heavy the Eshkol was that they took? Because they were helping each other load it on. It took eight people that were carrying the Eshkol, and one stone that a person was able to deadlift was 40 sa'ah. Wow, so it must have been a very, very heavy eshkol. But once we mention that, we'll start talking about the meraglim in general, the parsha of the meraglim in general. So the pasuk tells us, shlach l'cha anoshim. So Gemara darshins, what is the word l'cha? Whenever you have the word l'cha, it always signifies something, right? Lech l'cha, and Avraham Avinu is told, lahana oscha, l'tovascha, right? It's for you. L'kachtem l'chem b'yom arisha. What's lachem? That it has to be misha lachem, that it has to belong to you. Usfartem lachem, right? We have by Svira Sa'omer. Lachem, shetei Svira, lekol echad ve'echad. That every single person has to do an individual. So whenever you have a lacha, a lachem, that's always it's a word that needs a drasha. So what's shalach lacha anashim? So I'm reshlach, shalach lacha midaitcha. That I don't want meraglim. You do this because you want to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not because I want to do it. V'chi adam zeh borer chilek ra li'atzmo, is it normal for a person when you know that it's going to be bad for you to do something? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you it's going to be making the day takal, it's not good. So it's going to be something terrible. So v'hayinu d'chsev, based on that, the Gemara says that since it was not paratzon Hashem, that's what the pasuk says. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Yisrael, you want to send meraglim? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, v'yitav be'enei adavar. He says, it's okay by me, but Rami Shlakish be'inai v'lo be'inav shel makom. It might be okay by me, but it's not okay with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So because he knew that it wasn't going to turn out well. Marshar raises the question: if it was mutav be'inai Moshe, why in the Tochacha was he mochiach b'nei Yisrael for it? He just told them that he's okay with it. So Marshar quotes from the Ramban that it was hutav be'inav to send meraglim to see how to best conquer the land, but not to see whether to conquer the land. Meaning that wasn't a mission that Moshe Rabbeinu was comfortable with. So now it says in Parsha Meraglim that Bnei Yisrael came to Moshe and they asked, they said, let's send people and they'll scout out the land. So Gemara Darshan, the Lashon of Vayachpuru. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba explains, Meraglim lo neskavnu ela lebushasa shel Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim were interested in the Gnus of Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to degrade and denigrate Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Pasuk uses the Lashon of Chafira, because Chafira is the Lashon of Busha. How do I know that? Ksiv Hachabeh, the Parsha of Meraglim, it says, Vayachbaru lanu es haaretz, uksiv Hasman, it says, Vachafra halavana uvosha hachama. And the Pasuk continues, Kimalach Hashem Tzvakos, Bahartzion of Yerushalayim, Vneged Zekein of Kavod. So it means that those who are Oved, the Chama Levana, those who are Oved of the Zara and worship the sun and the moon are going to suffer a busha. So the Gemara is telling us, you see that Chafira is the Lashon of Busha. So when it says Chafira by the Meraglim, it also means to see the Busha and the Gnos of Eretz Yisrael. The Marsha raises a very strong kasha that when Yeshua sent Kalev and Pinchas also to scout out the land, it also is Vyachbaru, it's also Lashon of Chafira. Okay, so that's a kasha. Why it does that's not Busha, that was a positive Meraglim mission. Okay, good kasha. And these are the names of the Meraglim. So it lists all of them. Shamur ben Zakur is the one that represented Ruvain. Amrab Yitzchak, Davrzat, Mesoris, Biadenim, we have a tradition from our forefathers. Meraglim al shem ma'aseihem nikru'u. The names of the Meraglim could be darshaned to describe what their intentions were and what they were trying to do. But we can only think of how to darshan one of them. And that is Sesur ben Michael. That the name Sesur ben Michael, what does that name mean? It's a Gnai. Sesur shesasar maisav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sesur means that because he was motzi laz on Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he was contradicting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, that it's an Eretz of Aschal of Dvash. And his father's name was Michael. We darshan that Gnai as well. Michal shasa atzmo mach, that he made it like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is weak, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is meek, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to be able to defeat the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, once you're on that topic of darshaning the names, that's not the only name we could darshan. Afanu nomar, I could darshan another one of the names, Liganai. Nachbi ven vafsi. Nachbi shehechvi dvar shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. That even though we saw the great Shevach Haaretz, that it's such a good land flowing with milk and honey, he hid that truth about the land in order to be Motzi La'az about the land. And the name of Nachbi's father is Vavsi. So we dash Vavsi Shepisa al Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he skipped over the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't say one of the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is MS. So instead of saying the MS, he instead spoke ill of the land. And then it says Vayalu Banega Vayavo at Chevron. So we don't dash in any of the other names right now, but the pasuk describes that the Meraglim came to Vayalu Banegev Vayavo ad Chevron. So it says Mar Vayavo, that's singular. Vayavo umi bayalei. It should have said, and they came to Chevron, not and he came to Chevron. So Marava Malami Shapirish Kalev Matzis Meraglim. You see from here that Kalev did not join in with the plot of the Meraglim. Vahalach v'nishtata chal kivrei avos. And instead, he went to daven by kivrei avos. Va'amar lahen, and he said to them, which is Tosas raises the kasha, that the Gemara in Bracha says that Mason don't know anything of what's going on in this world. So you mean Amar lahem? He's talking to the Mason. They have no idea what you're talking about. They're not there. They don't know what's going on in this world. If you look at the Gemara in Bracha, it's not so poshut that that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara's maskana might be that they do know. It seems to be a suffix in the Gemara. It seems to be some sort of machlokas in the Gemara. But Tosas assumes that the way to read that Gemara is that the Mason don't know what's going on in this world. So what's he doing over here by talking to the Mason? So Tosas writes that Mason, when the Gemara says that Mason don't know what's going on in this world, it means naturally they don't know what's going on in this world. But if you tell them, then they know. When you're mispalel, then they up in Shemayim, they let the Avos know about that tefillah, and then they'll be mevakish rachamim. So that's why we have minhagim like this. People go to kivrei Avos before a chasana, and they'll go invite them to the chasana or whatever. You know, so lav davka invite. They're saying that be poel something in Shemayim for siyata de Shemaya for the young couple or whatever. And that's why people go. They go to kivrei Avos because it's ma'orer the neshama of that person to be poel something to help something out. So Varmelen Kalev said to them, Avosai bikshu alai rachamim, daven for me. So the achronim discuss, are you allowed to do that? You're allowed to ask the dead people to daven for you? Should I not tell me atzas meraglim, that I should be saved from the atzas meraglim? Are you really allowed to daven to the dead? It sounds like you're allowed to, because Kalev did it. Mesechus Titus, we say, why do you go to Beis HaKvaros on a Titus? So Kadesh Yivakshu Mesim Aleim Rachamim, so that the Mesim will be Mavakish Rachamim. In fact, we even said earlier in this Mesechta, that why is it, we said back in Daf Yudal, that why is it that no one knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried? Because it was Golev Yaduah Ta'akarosh Baruch Hu, that the Beis was going to be destroyed, Klal Yisrael was going to be sent into Galus, and maybe at that time we're going to go to Kever Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're going to say, Moshe Rabbeinu, Amod B'tfila Ba'adeinu, yeah, go daven for us, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be Mvatel L'Gzeira. So you see that you're allowed to daven to the Mesim, Mvakish Rachim. So that's what Sefer Chassidim says, that the Mesim have Hana'a when they're Ohavim, go to the Kvarim and are Mvakish for the Neshama, good for the Neshama, and then they're Powell, something good for the people down here. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tav Kevayin Tes, that Titus Geshamim, that by a Titus, by a Titus for Geshamim, you yotzei al kvarim. And the Magen Avraham writes in order that the Mesim should be mevakesh rachamim for us. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from a number of poskim, Mariel and others, that no, we're not davening to the Mes himself. We're davening to Hashem that in the zchus of the Mes, Hashem should save us. So that's the pashas of what a person is supposed to do when you go to kivrei avos, or when you go to any kever, kivrei tzadikim. You have to be careful about the kavana. You're not davening to the Mes. So it's machlokas of nuance. Is it that you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the zchus of the Mes, Hashem should save you? Or you're asking the mace to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for you? Those are the two mahalchim. Definitely you should not be davening to the mace to help you. When people do that, they're making a very big mistake. Right, so those are the two mahalchim that you find in poskim. Either davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the zechus of the mace, or perhaps you're even allowed to ask the mace to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your behalf, which Pashtus in the Gemara, it sounds like what Kalev is doing, right? He says, "Bikshu alei rachem Moshe natzel may atzas meraglim." So Kvar Bikesh Moshe, so says Mora Yoshua, and as far as Yoshua is concerned, why didn't Yoshua have to go to Chevron to daven for that? Because Kvar Bikesh Moshe alav rachem, Moshe already davened for him. Shemar Vayuk Moshe le Yoshua binun, lo Shea binun Yoshua. The Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea binun Yoshua. Why Yoshua? That's symbolic that Hashem should save him from the Atzas Meraglim. Of course, the Kasha even asks, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Kalev also? Why didn't he daven for all of them? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu only davening for Yoshua? But anyway, Hainu Duchsiv, Va'avdi Kalev Ekev Haisa Ruach Acharesimo. That's what it means, that Kalev had a Ruach Acharesimo, that he went alone to Chevron to daven to be saved from any wrongdoing. V'shem V'sham Achiman Sheshai V'talmai. So it's it identifies the various giants that were in Chevron. So Achiman is called because Miyuman Shabi Achiv. He was the strongest of the brothers. Miyuman means like the right hand. He was the strongest. Sheshai is Shemesim Es Aretz Kishchasos. That when he would trample on the ground, it would like leave craters in the ground because he was so giant. Talmai Shemesim Es Aretz Talamim Talamim. That when he went on the ground, there were the dirt went up around his footsteps. So he made like a deep imprints in the ground. Dover Acher, Achiman Bana Anas. Achiman built a city called Anas. Sheshai Bana Olush. Sheshai built a place called Olush. Talei Bana Talbush. Yilidei Anak. Why are they called Yilidei Anak? Shemanikin Hema Bekomasan. Chama Bekomasan, rather. That when they were so tall that when you'd look up at them, you'd only see their head and the sun around their head. So it was as if they were wearing the sun as a necklace around them because they were so tall. You couldn't look at them without looking into the sun. The Chevron Shevashan Nimnasa, the Lefnei Tzoran Mitzrayim, the pasuk goes on. Chevron was built 7 years before Tzoran Mitzrayim. My Nimnasa, Ilema Nimnasa Mamish, if it means that literally it was built 7 years before Tzoran Mitzrayim, that doesn't make sense. Efshar Adam Bona Bayis Lebno Katan, Kodom Lebno Gadol, would it make sense that a person would build a house for his younger son before his older son? Cham ben Noach was the father of Canaan and Mitzrayim. And the pasuk says that Canaan, who Ham built Chevron for, was younger than Mitzrayim, who he built Soan for. Dechsev uvnei Ham, Kush uMitzrayim and Uput uKnaan. So Canaan was two after Mitzrayim. So Ella, so it must be Shehaisa Mevuna al Echad Mishiva Bitzoan. That it was, it had more beautiful peros, seven times more beautiful peros than Soan of Mitzrayim. That Chevron had such beautiful peros. But if you think about what that means, Ve'elucha Trashim Chaleret Yisrael Yosem Michevron. There's no more rocky, less fertile area in all of Eretz Yisrael than Chevron, the Kivrei Bashichvi. That's why it was chosen as a place for a cemetery where you bury people. And there's no more fertile land in anywhere in the world than Eretz Mitzrayim. Shenemar, because the pasuk says Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim by Lot. It says Ve'yisalot Eseinav, and he saw Kikar Yarde, that it was Kula Mishka, and he saw Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. And the most choice part of Eretz Mitzrayim is Tzoan. And nevertheless, Chevron is seven times more fertile, produces seven times nicer fruits than Tzoan. The Chevron Troshimavi. Wait a second, is it true that Chevron was just rocks? Is that really true? And that's why they buried people? Because it was the more rocky ground and they didn't use it to grow things? Vaksiv, but doesn't the Pasuk say in Shmuel Beis, Vayihim Miketz Arbam Shon of Yom Rav Shalom El Melech El Chana, that Rav Shalom said, I'm going to go and I'll go to Chevron and from there I'll take a nice sheep in order to bring his karbanos. V'am Rav Avi V'item Rav Bar Brachana Shahalach Lavi Kvasim Mechevron, that Rav Shalom decided to go to Chevron because that was a place where the sheep can graze, so they grew really, really nice sheep in Chevron. V'tanya, and the Brisa tells us that Elim Moav Kvasim Mechevron, that if you want to get an aisle, a really nice aisle, you go to Moav. If you want to get a really nice keves, you go to Chevron, because that's where you get the best sheep. So don't you see that Chevron must have have had a really wonderful place to graze if it grew such nice animals there. So how can you say that they didn't plant anything in Hebron and they just used it as a makom of kvarim in Hebron? Says Gemara, that's the point. It's not where you got delicious fruits, it's where you got really nice sheep. Minah, it's from that exact place that we derive that it was not used for planting things. Aidi de klisha ara, since the dirt of Hebron was weak and it was not ideal for planting things, Avda Raya. It was a place where things just grew wildly on their own, which is perfect for animals that want to graze. So Visham and Kenyana, and therefore the sheep and the livestock became very fat and delicious. And that's why Avshalom went there to get livestock. But it was the least of all of Eretz Yisrael in terms of a place where you'd want to plant something, and it was still seven times greater than Sawan Shal Mitzrayim. Okay, that's from tomorrow. We'll pick up at the last line of Daf Lamed Aleph Beis. Have a great day, everybody.